Although our technologies have changed over time, our goal to understand the sun remains the same. My name is Troy Klein, and on today's podcast, we're talking to someone who has used a NASA spacecraft meant to study solar flares on the sun to do something entirely different. David Smith is a physicist at the University of California, Berkeley, and he uses a solar mission called RESI to study the dynamics of lightning in the clouds over Earth. I was able to talk with Smith at the 10th RESI workshop in Annapolis, Maryland.
My name is David Smith, and I work with the RESI satellite to study solar flares. I've also done a lot of work with kind of oddball observations using the satellite that are not of solar flares. So we've had projects to look at radioactivity in the center of our galaxy, and we've had projects to work on studying gamma ray emissions from lightning that was discovered by another NASA satellite that you actually get flashes of gamma rays above thunderclouds. So I've been lucky enough to get to use this same little satellite for a lot of different things. One of the things that interests me most and excites me most is how the same physics keeps cropping up in different environments, whether it's a black hole on the other side of the galaxy with gas swirling into it, or whether it's the environment of a solar flare and that sort of explosion, whether it's the particles in the Earth's radiation belts colliding with waves and crashing into the Earth's atmosphere, or whether it's the acceleration of particles in a thunderstorm. The same few bits of physics keep popping up in all these environments, and whether it's the physics of acceleration of the particles or the physics of the emission of X-rays and gamma rays. And we've seen that this stuff from all these different environments with this one spacecraft that was just built to study one thing. My ambition, although you very seldom get to really do it, but the reason I'm trying to flit between all these different science topics is I would love to take insights that have been generated by the scientists working in one of these problems and bring them over to the other problems. It's in some ways a cheap and easy way of making new progress, and for me that's my niche is trying to do that, rather than studying with extraordinary depth and wisdom one particular aspect of a problem, which is something a lot of the other folks here at this conference are doing.
Focusing on a wide array of subjects has worked quite well for Smith, who has also spent some time focusing on gamma ray bursts seen from lightning.
When we first thought of looking for the gamma rays from lightning with the RESI satellite, I honestly thought that it was almost hopeless. The satellite that had first discovered this phenomenon of gamma rays from lightning was an enormous expensive satellite. RESI was tiny by comparison. So I did what you often do in a circumstance like that, which is rather than work on it myself or give it to one of my advanced graduate students, I gave the project to an undergraduate, because I figured even if there's no success, this student will have learned something about programming and analyzing data. And so I found a beginning student, undergraduate named Liliana Lopez, and I gave her this hopeless task to do. And I sat and I worked with her once a week, not expecting much. Eventually, we discovered a couple of these events. I was rather startled, but I sent her to a workshop of people who study lightning, a field I knew nothing about. Turns out she was the hero of that workshop. People were fascinated with her data. They weren't expecting it either. She came back and told me I had six new collaborators that she had formed collaborations for me with. And we went on. It became an enormous thing. It became a real boost to my career and a boost to hers. And you know, it turns out we ended up discovering over 10 times as many of these events as the enormous satellite had, just because of some quirks and how the satellites work. So it's become a whole second career for me, and that's how it started. The satellite is orbiting at about 600 kilometers above the Earth's surface. It takes about 90 minutes to go around the Earth, as will any satellite at that altitude. And whenever it flies over a thunderstorm, the gamma rays coming up hit the satellite. Now, the satellite was built to study gamma rays coming from the sun, which is the opposite direction. But a gamma ray is like an X-ray, and you know that we use X-rays to take medical pictures because they go through stuff. Well, the gamma rays are even higher energy than X-rays. They go through stuff even better. So they just come right up through the bottom of the satellite and hit our gamma ray detectors, even though that's not the direction in which they're supposed to be looking.
Smith says it's important to study this because there is still so much we don't understand about how lightning works and what causes it to form.
The kind of lightning seems to be mostly the kind of lightning that goes within the cloud rather than coming down to the ground. But there's still a lot we don't understand about it, and we want to make some measurements closer up than 600 kilometers up in space. Lightning has some dangers to it. Being able to predict it better might be a good thing. But I do have to say that it really is more the notion of just looking at this phenomenon and saying, how does this start? Why does this happen? Even if you can't prevent lightning with that knowledge, it's still just the sort of knowledge that we want to pursue for its own sake. The mystery here is the trigger of lightning. How does a lightning flash start? And it may very well be in some cases that it starts with a gamma ray flash and a particular physics, high energy physics, that causes that, and that sort of gives it the little boost that allows it to turn into a lightning bolt. We don't know yet, but that's the kind of thing we want to study. It's a field that's always been there since Ben Franklin, and it's always been small, but it's a really good time now. There's been that progress has been going very quickly in the last 20 or 30 years in terms of our understanding of these phenomena. But the one thing I would say is, don't go outside. You know, do your studying of lightning inside a building, or at least inside a car.
Since it launched in 2002, RESI has improved our understanding of solar flares, which in turn can help scientists better forecast which solar flares might send their high-energy particles towards Earth. I'd like to thank David Smith for his time, and I look forward to future interviews with the people involved with the RESI mission. I hope you enjoyed this Sun Earth Day Highlights podcast, and we're very interested in hearing your questions and comments. If you have something to say, just join us on Facebook or send an email to sunearthday@gmail.com. If selected, we'll share it on one of our upcoming podcasts. For all other details about the Sun Earth Day program, including information about upcoming events, just visit our website at sunearthday.nasa.gov. While there, you can find more information about the recent Sun Earth Day webcast and tweet up that took place at the Goddard Space Flight Center. To download a copy of the webcast, just do a quick search in iTunes for NASA Edge. From there, you'll see a show called NE Live at Sun Earth Day 2011. You'll also see a new promo, which was created for the 2012 Transit of Venus show that will be aired live from Hawaii on June 5, 2012. You can learn more about NASA by simply visiting www.nasa.gov.
This is Troy Klein signing off.